Banking on the Stress Tests.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Oh boy, this is it. This evening at 5 o'clock Eastern, the results of the government stress tests on the nation's largest banks will be made public. The idea behind the tests is to ensure those financial institutions can handle a deeper recession. Tamara Keith joins us now from Washington. Tamara, first, what's the rundown of what we know already?
There have been reports that Bank of America will need $34 billion. Wells Fargo, Citibank, and others will also need to raise substantial cash. But banks like Chase and Goldman handled their spins on the financial treadmill just fine. The latest tally I'm seeing is that 7 of the 19 banks put to the test will be required to boost their capital. But, of course, all of this is unconfirmed until the official results come out at the end of today.
The thing is, though, so much information, as you just mentioned, has been dripping out over the last several days. I'm wondering what kind of reaction we're expecting when this actually does come out.
I think this could be one of those cases where there's been so much anticipation and uncertainty, and those things are maybe scarier than the reality, that just having the facts out is better than not knowing at all.
So in terms of the banks, what happens after the results are released?
Well, the ones that have to raise extra capital will be required to come up with plans for raising that cash. They're not going to wait around to release them. They are going to rush out with press conferences and investor calls to reassure folks that they have a plan. And also, they're going to remind us probably over and over again that these stress tests were based on a worst-case scenario and that they're doing really just fine right now. Though others have argued that the stress tests were not nearly as stressful as they could have been.
Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also out of Washington today, we'll hear more about President Obama's proposed budget plan. The president's promising cuts totaling $17 billion. That equals one half of 1% of the $3.4 trillion budget. The plan itself is the size of a phone book. Major markets in Asia closed higher today. The Nikkei was up more than 4.5%. On Wall Street yesterday, stocks rallied. The Dow picked up 102 points to 8512. That's the highest close since the 9th of January. Right now in Europe, shares are up across the board. With hopes up for an economic turnaround, oil prices jumped to almost $58 a barrel today. The urge to merge continues in the car industry. Volkswagen and Porsche have agreed to unite. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
The agreement ends a family feud. Wolfgang Porsche, chairman of the sports car company, fought a long campaign to take over Volkswagen. Volkswagen is run by a relative, a grandson of Ferdinand Porsche, the man who designed the Beetle. The sports car company borrowed around $12 billion to buy a big stake in VW. Buckling under that debt, it's now dropped its takeover aim. It's agreed to merge with VW instead. The deal, if it goes ahead, will unite some powerful brands, Porsche, Volkswagen, Audi and Bentley. Analyst Jürgen Pieper in Frankfurt says it makes good commercial sense.
Porsche is by far the most profitable car maker at all, and Volkswagen in the past 2 years has become the leading manufacturer in Europe at least, and I think this is in the end a good fit.
There is one possible source of friction in the proposed new company. It's still not entirely clear which branch of the Porsche family will be in the driver's seat. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America, committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. American Public Media presents A Better Life, Creating the American Dream, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The Star Trek movie opens tomorrow, and as Caitlin Carroll reports, one company is boldly going where no merchandiser has gone before.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds.
And smells. The franchise, loved by trekkers and Trekkies around the world, has something new for the fan with everything. Perfume. Three new scents. Pondfar for the ladies, with notes of citrus. For the men, there's Tiberius, hints of cedar. And Red Shirt, kind of musky. John McGonigal runs Genki Wear, the company behind the $30 perfumes.
You know, I tell people that they should start out the day wearing Red Shirt. And if they make it through, you know, their job without being killed, that, you know, when they go out, they should put on Tiberius.
The names are inside jokes. Red Shirts are the anonymous crew members of the Enterprise who die in every episode. Tiberius, that's James T. Kirk's middle name. And Pondfar, well, that's a Vulcan mating ritual. Happens every 7 years. You don't mate, you die. And you don't get any of this, well, then you're really not the target audience anyway.
I had a gentleman yesterday that contacted us because he wants to wear Tiberius at his wedding, which is to be done entirely in Klingon.
Gavin Fitzsimmons is a professor of marketing and psychology at Duke University.
The beauty of the Star Trek brand is that for the target customers, boy, those associations are incredibly strong.
And when we buy perfume, he says what we're really buying is the idea of who we want to be.
What could be more aspirational than being James T. Kirk?
At a sci-fi convention in Los Angeles, I don't find any Kirk wannabes. I do find Eric Stillwell. He's a former script coordinator for Star Trek's Next Generation.
I've been a huge Star Trek fan since I was, like, 12.
His vote on the Star Trek scents?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. But the cologne might actually save you from those creatures that want to suck the salt out of you or something like that.
He likes the clever packaging, too. Pondfar's bottle has a Vulcan-shaped blade on top. Red Shirt's tagline, because tomorrow may never come. He says these products are a galaxy away from the days when calendars came out with the Starship Enterprise flying upside down. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.